Welcome to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, with your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome to the Veterans Perspective. Today we're talking about women's health care, so women veterans health care. And joining us today is going to be, again, Erica Hoover is coming back from the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. She's our Women Veterans and Special Populations Coordinator. Also joining us today will be Heather Morgan, the Women Veterans Program Manager at Battle Creek VA, as well as Allison Mancarelli, who is the Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program Coordinator at the Battle Creek VA. We're going to be talking about different topics. And as you recall, you know, we just celebrated Women Veterans Recognition Day a couple of weeks ago. We have a lot of exciting information for you today. Whether you're a woman veteran, you know a woman veteran, or you're a family member of a woman veteran, you don't want to miss this show. So stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. So today is July 3rd, and tomorrow is Independence Day in our country. July 4th, we're celebrating independence, and people celebrate that in so many different ways. We celebrate it by, you know, especially this year when I think, you know, we were very much confined to our homes because of COVID-19. And so I think this is even more of a special Independence Day, knowing that our state is opened back up. You know, we don't have a mask mandate, and we're free to mingle with other folks, obviously while still taking precautions while things are still out there. But I just think it's interesting that July 4th represents the freedom of our country, and we oftentimes honor veterans, we honor military, we have parades, and we have all these other things. But one of the things that we do besides the barbecues and all of that is that we shoot off fireworks. And I think it's important for us to remember that, you know, those same individuals who have fought for our freedom, many of them have come home with struggling with PTSD and different other things, and may be very sensitive because of that, because of those the war efforts that they've gone through and the combat that they've seen to fireworks. And so I think it's important that we mention that the Department of Natural Resources, in partnership with the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, are highlighting quieter camping options over the 4th of July. So veterans, pet owners, and other visitors can find camping options situated in campground locations that are farther away from traditional fireworks displays. And so if you are looking for opportunities and options, it will be great. You can Google Fireworks Free Michigan if you're a veteran or a veteran connected family member who knows that veteran may struggle during that time for fireworks. You may want to look up some options to find where there's a quieter, peaceful area. But I also would encourage those who may know that you have a veteran who's a neighbor to maybe have a conversation with them if you plan on shooting off fireworks, to see if that's going to be a trigger for that person. Because we always talk about freedom not being free. And we always talk about how, you know, we are thankful for someone's service. And sometimes that thank you may be as simple as shooting off your fireworks somewhere else. So I wanted to talk about that, mention that, and just know that you can visit Michigan. You can visit michigan.gov/DNR and find out about Fireworks Free July 4th at state parks. There are several state parks across the state that you can go to. But I also wanted to talk about in the interest of talking about Independence Day, is part of what we're talking about today on our show. And I wanted to welcome back Erica Hoover, who is our Women Veterans and Special Populations Coordinator, just to kind of start this discussion off with me about some of the opportunities and resources that those who served our country admirably are not able to access. So welcome back to the show, Erica.
Thanks, Director Adams. I feel like an honored special guest again. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, we love having you on. And I really wanted to just kind of highlight, you know, we talk about women veterans, and I think back to, you know, when I founded that Women Veterans organization a long time ago before this job, one of the first things that we did was provide care packages to women veterans who were in like inpatient hospitals. So we put together these care packages with like tampons and underwear and pads and things because they weren't necessarily getting those things when they were inpatient at the VA hospitals. And that for me blows my mind when we know that we have right now in our past statistics, 44,000 women veterans in the state of Michigan and over 2 million in the country. So the fact that we had requests from all over the country asking for those care packages was a little bit of alarming. But I know that there's other things that women veterans don't necessarily have full access to at the VA hospital, but also some new things that maybe they don't know they have access to. So can you talk about kind of what your thoughts are, especially being a woman veteran, having to utilize services?
Yeah, thanks. I think that, you know, those are great points. These are, you know, there are a lot of items that aren't available to women veterans. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that I really think that the VA is trying. And they are really getting great teams in place and people that are passionate, and actually, you know, women veterans are getting into the VA to help other women veterans. And so those voices are super important to have. You know, our Center for Women Veterans is really advocating for that. The new legislation that's out to input new services into all these VAs for women veterans, to talk about separate entrances and no harassment. And there is just a plethora of things. And I know that we're going to talk about a lot of them today, but, you know, like fertility services are something that that are huge and that are really important. And a lot of our women veterans are in the age range where they're thinking about being pregnant or having babies, or they already were when they exited the military. And so, you know, there's just so many things that they aren't aware of, or that they could just go to their primary doctor and talk to them about and possibly get a referral out into the community. Really opportunities. And really the thing that I would say is just advocate and be your best, you know, you always say it too, you know, you have to be your own best advocate, talk about the things that you need. And then figure out how to get it done.
Yeah, I think you mentioned something that's important, and it's that, you know, the VA is making strides in the right direction and they're doing things, but they can't do it alone. And so the more women that actually take advantage of utilizing VA services in general, the more you can advocate, because it's really hard to advocate for something when you're like, okay, there's only 5 people using it, but I know that there's 500,000 who could be utilizing this. And so we really need to be there, because our showing up helps to advocate for other women veterans. So when we come back, we'll be having a further discussion about some of these women healthcare opportunities. So stay tuned with us on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. I'm your host, Sonetta Adams, Director of the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency, and joining me to have a discussion about women's health and women veterans in the health population is Erica Hoover, the Women Veterans and Special Populations Coordinator at the MVAA. So we were just talking, Erica, about just women and showing up in general, and I wanted to kind of backtrack about Women Veterans Recognition Day a couple of weeks ago, and talk to you about what happened on that day. Like, we had this amazing 5K. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the success of that, or what that looked like, what we've been able to do?
Yeah, it was fantastic. We launched our 5K on that day, and we've tried to do it every year, but COVID, you know, that's the excuse now for, you know, a lot of events not happening in the last year. But we were able to pull it off with help from some really great sponsors, and that, you know, just Meyer and AARP and folks, you know, they donated money to a really good cause, thing on social media using the Women Veterans 5K hashtag. And then we sent them a t-shirt bundle and a medal. And so, just a disclaimer, I apologize if you didn't get it in time. The UPS was a little behind, and that's something that we've known about. But we raised over $7,000 for the Einstein Reintegration Center for Women Veterans, and that money will go to the Women Veterans cohort for any woman veteran to sponsor them so they can get back on their feet. And so it was really exciting to be able to do something this year, despite, you know, all of our challenges, and get folks out and getting some exercise and just kind of getting people together. And it was really fun to see the pictures, especially of our staff. It was cool to see everybody participate.
Yeah, that's great. That's great to hear. And just knowing that, you know, we raised $7,000, you know, the proceeds of that is huge. And it just goes to show that we're getting the word out, we're getting the message out. And that's what the Recognition Day is about. It's not necessarily about setting apart. It's really about, you know, bringing together and building that awareness. And so the more we keep doing things like this, the more awareness we bring and the more that those veterans who didn't know that they qualified for certain benefits or didn't even identify as a veteran start to identify and get connected to services that they need. And so we talk about women veterans, and I know we've been talking about women veterans sporadically through the last year, but, you know, one of the things that we've been hearing is that that's part of the fastest growing segment of the veteran population in the country. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Women veterans, you know, with combat, all jobs opening up to women in the military, women are serving at higher rates than ever before, which means we'll have a lot more women veterans when they exit the military, when they decide to. So Michigan is ahead of the pack, I think, in a lot of ways that we, the VA population data for a while was showing that our population was dwindling pretty hard and with women veterans. But actually recently it's shown we're projected to have 47,000 women veterans in Michigan. And so it's really great that we have a program now that we can really start doing some outreach and joining town hall meetings and really, with our partners at the VA, reaching out to women veterans to let them know, like, you're eligible for benefits and a lot of benefits that you weren't aware of. I think it's so important that, you know, we even have spots like this on the radio show and, you know, our website and all kinds of things. So, it's so important that we just have these discussions, and that if you're listening and you know a woman that has served in the military, it's really important that you get them connected or just ask them about their service, connect them to the MVAA.
You know, that is important. And I hear from women veterans, I've been hearing from women veterans for several years about different resources that they may be entitled to, but they're not getting them in the full capacity. And I just remember there was a veteran who, you know, she was on hormone treatments and she, her appointments kept getting rescheduled. She couldn't get her hormone treatments, and because her hormones were out of whack, she was more suicidal. And it was one of those things that you're trying to get these services for this veteran and they struggle. And so I don't know if people really realize that, you know, There are still certain veterans and certain sects of this population that are unfortunately falling through the cracks. And so that's why I'm so glad that we are here at the MVAA and we can advocate on behalf of veterans who may be falling through the cracks. So if you're one of those veterans out there, I just encourage you to call us at 1-800-MISH-VET, because, you know, we've been able to help veterans get connected, maybe where they're hitting a brick wall. We can get them where they need to be so that they don't, you know, get so critical like that veteran was with the care that she was missing out on. And so one of the other things I wanted to talk about was kind of like the infertility. And I know we're going to have the Battle Creek VA representatives on today. But, you know, one of the things I remember when I was going through this, my last twin pregnancy, I say last because I've had a couple, but my last twin pregnancy was, you know, I was actually registered in the VA, and, you know, I wasn't able to get care at the VA. The VA paid for my care, but I wasn't able to get care at the VA. And as soon as I had the babies, like, that care stopped. But the other crazy part of it was, is that, like, I struggled with bills for years that slipped through the cracks and didn't get paid, or, you know, at the time it was fee basis, some of those things. So it was a struggle. It's already a struggle having one child and then two children at the same time, but then having to worry about things getting on your credit. And so having an agency like this, I would have loved to know more that this was available for me back then. But they're also working to provide infertility assistance. Can you talk a little bit about that and maybe from your personal experience?
Yeah, I can definitely talk about my personal experience. My wife and I, we obviously can't have children together. So we have been in a family planning process for probably the last 2 years. And, you know, the year was halted because of COVID and some other things, but, you know, I did a lot of research, and, you know, the reason why I use the VA is because I'm the Women Veterans Coordinator for the state. And I think it's really important that I understand how to utilize services. And I served in the military, and so I deserve to use the VA. So I went to the VA, I went to my primary doc, and I told her, you know, what I wanted to do and what that looked like. And so I got a referral out into the community. And I think something that people don't realize is that, you know, we talk about IVF services a lot, but there's a lot of other services for women that want to be pregnant and men that want to get, you know, that want to have a baby that don't fall under that IVF, you know, you've had a service connected disability. And so I was actually able to get, IUI, 6 cycles of IUI, which is intrauterine insemination, through a fertility clinic approved through the VA. I had to have a surgery along the way. And so none of that stuff has happened yet, but that referral is out there. And my Women Veterans Program Manager, has been fantastic in helping, but kind of like lead me along the way and refer me out to the right folks. And, it's not, you know, it's not been a terrible experience. It's been, you know, other than like a personal, like the surgeries and things that I've had to go through to kind of get through it, which has nothing to do with the fertility. It's just been really nice to know that that's available, and it's available for all kinds of folks that want to have a family, not just for, you know, LGBTQ folks. So, I highly advocate, talk to your doctor about your goals and your family goals and your family planning.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And you heard Erica, if you're looking for these types of services and you're a veteran and you're connected to the VA, or you're looking to see if you qualify for healthcare, you got to give us a call. And really it was just as simple as you talking to your provider and letting her know what you wanted.
Yep. That's right. That's all I needed to do. And she said, okay, here you go. And then she referred me out to the program manager, and Heather will be on soon. And she's actually my Women Veterans Program Manager in my area. So, it's been a really good experience.
Well, that is great. And I'm so glad to hear that they're moving those things in the right direction and that there are so many different opportunities out there for women to get great women's health care. And I'm looking forward to having those conversations and hearing more about that from the Battle Creek VA. So thank you so much for joining us again, Erica, and for sharing your very personal journey.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. And so when we come back, we'll be hearing more about the Women Veterans Program from Heather Morgan from the Battle Creek VA. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective. Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. We're talking about women veterans healthcare and programs. And so just a little bit of perspective. At each VA medical center nationwide, a Women Veterans Program Manager is designated to advise and advocate for women veterans. They can help coordinate all the services you may need, from primary care to specialized care for chronic conditions and reproductive health. Joining me today is Heather Morgan, the Women Veterans Program Manager at the Battle Creek VA. She is an FNPC, a nurse, family nurse practitioner who has been at the VA for 15 years as a nurse and a provider. She has worked as the RN in the CLC, urgent care, specialty care, PACT, and health promotion disease prevention program manager, and was a provider in HBPC, women's clinic, and PACT at the Battle Creek VA. She became the Women Veterans Program Manager in 2019. She's a preceptor for nurse practitioner students, as well as a mentor for women's wellness colleagues. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And so we've been talking about women's health, and I know most people know about primary care services, and maybe they don't. And I, if they're a woman veteran, they can definitely reach out to ask you. But I wanted you to be able to maybe walk through some of the other services that are available besides kind of like the main primary care services.
Okay. So, I mean, obviously we do have the main primary care services, and one of the things that we have been striving to do more recently than not is make sure that our women veterans are assigned to a women's health PAC team, meaning they can get all of their care on their PAC team with their provider and their nurses that they know. so that they don't have to go to a women's clinic at the VA to have their annual visit completed. They can have that done on their PAC team. So we've been reaching out to our women veterans in our catchment areas, sending them letters and asking them to respond, you know, would you like to have a women's health PAC team where you can get comprehensive care on that team? That team has been trained to be able to do comprehensive care and do their annual women's wellness visits as well. But if you don't want to change and you still need to have your women's health care, we do have the women's health clinic. We have clinics in Battle Creek, Wyoming, that are specific for women's health, meaning if you are on a PAC team that has a male provider or a female provider that doesn't provide that health care, you can come to one of our clinics. I do a clinic every other Friday, and then another one of my colleagues fills in on the Fridays that I'm not in clinic. And we do those annual women's wellness visits, including pap smears and pelvics, answering questions regarding birth control and anything that you have questions about as far as that goes. In Wyoming, we do have a provider, Jen Oman. She also happens to be our women's medical director. She provides a clinic in Wyoming, and she sees women veterans on Tuesdays. And then also in Wyoming, we have another doctor, Dr. Olson, who provides a women's health clinic one Wednesday a month. And then we recently just hired Dr. Dahm, who already was with the VA in Battle Creek, but he is now signed on to be what we call a point two provider. So he'll be either in Wyoming or Battle Creek one day a week from here on out. So that he is there so we can do the different things that we maybe weren't able to do before, including endometrial biopsies, cervical biopsies. We can discuss any kind of birth control. We can do IUDs and Nexplanons. We can talk about the beginning of fertility. And sometimes depending on what, you know, the answers are and what specific circumstances are, he will start on an infertility journey with you as well. So we have some things that are opening up as far as specialty.
Well, that's great news. And, you know, I think it's important too that those women veterans understand that you're there as a resource. And I guess my question would be then, with all of those great resources and you working to set up those PACs for women veterans, when would someone have a need possibly to have to call you?
They can call me whenever they need to. It doesn't matter. I'm absolutely here all the time to answer whatever question that needs to come up. I mean, it depends. I've had people call me that said, hey, I remembered your name and I'm pregnant now. What do I do? So instead of me saying, hey, I'm going to send you to your team to answer that. No, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to put in your consult for community care so that we can get your OB started, your care started and moving in that direction. There's no need for me to bounce it to somebody else to take care of. But we do have a whole team of people that are able to help. And it's not just me, but they can call me and I will get them where they need to go to get those questions answered.
Now, is the VA providing maternity services in-house or is it outsourced, provided by the VA?
Yeah, so we call it community care because we outsource. We don't deliver babies at the VA. So we outsource all of it. So any female veteran that is in any of our 22 catchment areas, if they are pregnant and they need maternity care, they would come to us, we would put a consult in, and then we would find an OBGYN. So usually our veterans will come to us and say, you know, I have heard a lot about Dr. So-and-so, and I want to go to this person for my OB care. And we would reach out to that doctor and see if they participate with Optum and get that veteran on the road to having their maternity care so that they have care through their pregnancy.
And so if a veteran, you know, a female veteran wants to have a tubal ligation or have her tubes tied, then she can get assistance through you as well or through the VA?
Absolutely. So we have a couple of different things. One of the other things that is kind of nice, and I don't think people realize this, but Detroit VA, although it may be far away, one of the things I think veterans need to understand as well is community care is there. And yes, it's great because you can maybe be a half an hour away from that doctor. But at the same time, sometimes with COVID and with everything that's going on, we've seen very long wait times, 3-4 months wait times before you're able to get in. One of the nice things about Detroit VA, Dr. Metcalf and Dr. Carrigal have been getting most of my female veterans in within 30 days. So they're doing tubals, they can do hysterectomies, just all kinds of different things that we need, they're able to do as well.
Well, that's great, great news. You know, one of the other things I saw that you could potentially assist with is, I remember, you know, when I was needing home assistance, you know, after, you know, with being in my wheelchair and a lot of different things, and it was really hard to come by, and I didn't have access to a Women Veterans Program Manager. And so can you talk a little bit about just some of those resources?
So sure. So we have resources through several different areas in the VA. And if somebody does need home care, we do go through their primary care provider, or I can help them reach out or call their primary for them, but get them to that area where they can get in-home services. If somebody needs help because they've just been out of a hospital and maybe they need, you know, assistance once a month, maybe with medication setups, we have home-based primary care that could come into the house. If there's a need more than that, like you're having IV, you need IV antibiotics, we can put in a community care consult to have an outside nursing agency come in and set up your IVs so that you're getting your IVs as you need. So there are different resources that way as well that we provide through the VA.
Well, I appreciate that. And I love that the VA Medical Center is available to answer questions or concerns 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So for enrolled VA patients. And so if you're not enrolled, you want to give us a call because we can help to see if you're eligible and get you signed up for VA healthcare. But if you are enrolled, what number should women veterans call?
So I'm going to give you our basic number is 269-966-5600. And then our clerk's number is extension 32370. Her name is Mary. So you can get in touch with Mary and we can get that taken care of. One of the other things I want to bring up, because I don't think we talked a lot about it, is we do infertility services through the VA. We do help along that journey. And because of VA Directive 1332 and VA Directive 1334, we have veterans that are eligible for infertility services, and there are some veterans who are eligible for IVF assistance as well.
Well, thank you so much, Heather, for that information. And we will make sure we share all of that information on our Facebook page. And so thanks for joining us today. And we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Stick around. We'll be right back on the Veterans Perspective.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective, presented by the Michigan Veterans Affairs Agency. Now back to your host, Director of the MVAA, Zanetta Adams.
Welcome back to the Veterans Perspective. I'm joined by our final guest today. But just a little bit of information before I introduce her. The VA's Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program is committed to helping veterans, their partners, and VA staff who are impacted by IPV, which is the intimate partner violence. If you or someone you know could be experiencing and or using IPV, help is available. Now, here to tell us more about this is Allison Mincarelli from the Battle Creek VA Medical Center. Allison is a licensed clinical social worker with the Battle Creek VA Medical Center, where she currently serves as the Intimate Partner Violence Assistance Program Coordinator. She's been with the VA for over 10 years, serving in multiple roles across the organization. Allison graduated with her master's in social work from Boston College and completed her graduate internship at the VA Boston Healthcare System. Welcome to the show, Allison.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us. And so, you know, I've heard about the Intimate Partner Violence Program probably a couple years ago when I was in D.C. at a military sexual trauma event. But I'm not sure if many people know about that. But before we kind of dive into that, I'd love to know if you could just give us the definition of what is intimate partner violence.
Certainly. So yeah, I know we often use an acronyms in the VA especially, but IPV or intimate partner violence can describe physical, sexual, or psychological harm. And that could include stalking behavior, by a current or even former partner. And this could occur on a continuum of frequency and or severity, ranging from emotional abuse, and could result to chronic severe battering or even death. It can occur in any type of relationship, and it doesn't require sexual intimacy or cohabitation. And so oftentimes I think when people hear the term intimate partner violence, they often think of physical violence, but often the emotional, psychological abuse is just as significant, if not more so, than experiencing physical abuse. And we talk about intimate partner violence versus domestic violence in that we're really talking about the behavior that occurs, again, between a current or, again, former partner. We obviously can address domestic violence as well, but we know that these things impact a lot of folks in the community, and especially our veterans. And our goal is really to address not only those experiencing intimate partner violence, but also those that might be really struggling and using intimate partner violence.
Yeah. I think about some of the veterans I've come across, and I know that this can be experienced by males as well as females, intimate partner violence. But, you know, I think about some of the women veterans that I've worked with in the past, and these were women who actually served in the military, who had military spouses. Do you see some of those or hear about those stories about intimate partner violence with maybe there's a dual military household, and you're seeing some of that happening?
Certainly. Yeah. You know, we know everyone is at risk for experiencing intimate partner violence. However, there are certain groups who unfortunately could be higher risk than others. And unfortunately we do see that in our women population, often ages 18 to 35, and obviously female veterans. And we can see that kind of pre-military, during military service, post-military, where someone might have experienced this kind of on, that continuum of frequency.
Well, and I see you using the words experiencing IPV and using IPV. Can you tell us the difference in what your terminology is?
Sure. And not to say using other terms isn't right or correct. Our focus is really on recovery-oriented language. So we've kind of shifted that into saying, rather than saying victim or survivor, someone who's experienced violence. And then instead of using the terms abuser or batterer or perpetrator, we're often using that term someone who uses violence. Again, not to say the other terms aren't okay or to be used. We're again addressing kind of both aspects here, and we really focus on that recovery oriented and trauma-informed principles, and we want to be able to assist, those experiencing and those using, not only for our veterans, but if we have a non-veteran partner who needs support and we can work with them in some capacity. Obviously, their families are impacted, potentially their caregiver, and even within the VA system itself, we want to make sure we're addressing this with our VA employees.
That is great information, because I know that there are spouses out there right now, or, caregivers or significant others who may be struggling with a veteran who maybe they're struggling with PTSD, or maybe they're just not knowing how to tame their anger or aggression or their words, and they're using IPV within their home or their environment, and they don't know where to turn. This is a veteran that served our country, and maybe on the outside, everybody looks at them as just this all around great person. And not to say that they're a bad person, but what I'm saying is that I think it's great to know that they can maybe reach out to those working this, especially your program, to be able to get that veteran some help.
Certainly. Yeah. And we know that often times, people are struggling, all couples have times when they disagree and have arguments, and our focus too has really shifted on, relationship health and safety. We want to make sure everyone has a healthy and safe relationship. And we know there's times, especially during the pandemic, when stress is at an all-time high, pre and post deployment. And there's several, you know, veteran specific factors we can go into that that might put someone at risk for, again, experiencing or using. But again, the full picture is really helping all those that might be impacted by this, and providing them the resources that they need or might not even know about, and making them aware of those.
So what should somebody do if they're actually experiencing IPV?
Yeah, good question. So obviously it can be really private thing to open up, to share with someone if they're experiencing that or embarrassing. We want people to know that, you know, there's help available, especially too, like if you're worried about a friend, maybe you're not experiencing this, but you're noticing a friend, you see some warning signs of isolation or unexplained repeated injuries, if there's physical abuse, but that could also include that emotional, psychological isolation, not reaching out. So if someone is experiencing intimate partner violence, we want them to reach out. So obviously if they're a veteran, every VA has a person like me, an intimate partner violence assistance program coordinator. So all over the country, we have staff designated to this role that can be contacted. All that information is listed on va.gov, socialwork.va.gov, I should say. But if you just go to the va.gov website and type in intimate partner violence, it'll bring you to a page where we have a national directory of coordinators. Sometimes it might just be reaching out to even our local community partners, which have been doing this work a lot longer in the community. And so every community has a resource locally to address domestic violence, including shelters and additional support. Another great one is the National Domestic Violence Hotline, which can be reached 24/7. That number is 1-800-799-7233. They also have a website, and so there's free support available right there on the website if it's safer for someone to navigate that on a smartphone or the internet if they're not able to call. Obviously, if they're in significant and severe danger, imminent danger, we recommend contacting 911. But oftentimes, these things might be going on for a long time, and someone's really needing support and someone to reach out to, and that's what we're here for as well.
Well, I just want to take a moment to thank you so much, Allison, for joining us today. We've had some great discussion and we have some great resources to share. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And I want to take a moment to thank all of our guests for joining us today, Erica Hoover and Heather Morgan as well. And just remember, you can always call 1-800-799-7233, which is the National Domestic Violence Hotline. You can reach Women Veterans Call Center at 855-VA-WOMEN. That's 855-VA-WOMEN. Or you can give us a call at 1-800-MISHVET. That's 1-800-642-4838 if you need assistance with any of the resources you heard today. Thank you for coming by today, and we will see you next week on The Veterans Perspective.